Our reading this evening is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 18, and it's page 970 of the Church Bibles. That's Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 18. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you.
And if you're a visitor, I'd just like to let you know that normally we will take a passage like this and we'll explain it and apply it relevantly to the situations we find ourselves in today. Because I figured that you're all rather well instructed in the Lord's Prayer, I thought we'd miss that bit. And if you were particularly unkind, you might take a look at me and think he probably doesn't know much about fasting, so we'll give that a miss as well. But the bit I want to talk about is part of the section about praying and using a rather well-known cartoon character and imagining what Jesus might say to him in the light of his prayer. On one occasion, a good few years ago, we were sitting down together as a family to dinner, and I asked one of our children, none of the ones who are present, so they can kind of relax, to say grace. And this is what he came out with. Good drink, good meat, good God, let's eat. Of course, he got that from The Simpsons. I suppose he could have come out with one of Bart's other graces. Rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub. Or, with a rather irreverent, dear God, we pay for all this stuff ourselves, so thanks for nothing. Now, I guess that you're all pretty familiar with Bart Simpson, that imaginary 10-year-old with his spiked hair from year six, who so many parents love to hate. For the last 20 years or so, his international television programs and product endorsements have established him as something of a cultural icon. In America, one poll showed that more people know his name than the name of their member of Congress. Bart has come under attack from all sorts of directions, from the White House, Barbara Bush, the mother of the former president and wife of his dad, who was also president, was not impressed when she was the first lady. Some school principals have banned his t-shirts that say underachiever and proud of it. Now that, of course, only fuels his popularity. So who is this dinky dude with an attitude? Well, he's a wisecracking video gamer who plays practical jokes, is disrespectful towards authority, uses profanity, who gets hurled after school to write repentant phrases on the blackboard, such as, I will not instigate revolution, I will not draw naked ladies in class, I will not yell fire in a crowded classroom, I will not Xerox, that means photocopy my butt, I will not drive the principal's car. I will not sell school property. Goldfish don't bounce. I will not get very far with this attitude. I will not make flatulent noises in class. I will not belch the national anthem. And I will not do anything bad ever again. His father's a rather bumbling old boy called Homer, who's a safety inspector of a nuclear power plant. His parents' advice usually includes maxims such as never say anything unless you are sure everyone feels exactly the same way. Now, Bart's mum is a squeaky-voiced Marge who is best known for her kind of towering blue beehive hairdo. His sister Lisa is an 8-year-old saxophone virtuoso, while the 1-year-old Maggie seems always to have a dummy stuffed in her mouth. What this is satire. It's an exaggerated look at life from a child's perspective, with a kernel of truth at its core. So what might happen if Jesus were to encounter little Bart, a child so annoying that his very name was derived from rearranging the letters of the word brat? What would Jesus do? Would he do something about Bart's hairdo? Would he give him a lesson on honouring his father and mother? Would he lecture him on honesty, telling him to stop stealing his sister's Monopoly money when she's not looking? Would he punish him for instigating food fights in the cafeteria? Would he talk about Bart's self-proclaimed status as an underachiever? Would he offer a bit of encouragement to Bart by saying, you know, through the years, I've accomplished some of my best work through people who thought they didn't amount to much? Jesus might talk about any of those topics. But based on his track record with children, I believe that if Jesus were to meet a real-life Bart Simpson, he wouldn't put him over his knee, he'd put him on his knee. I think he would talk to him in a loving and compassionate way. In fact, I could imagine Jesus saying, Bart, I caught you doing something right. And you might well ask, what could Bart Simpson possibly do that was right? Well, in one particularly memorable episode, in fact, it is the most popular episode according to polls, Bart actually prayed. He prayed a very heartfelt and sincere prayer. And I think Jesus might say, Bart, you were headed down the correct road that night. Let's talk about prayer, because I'd like to reinforce what you did and help you to get the next step in talking to God. So we're going to see a clip from the day Bart prayed. Bart wasn't doing very well. He's year six. He's coming up to the American equivalent of Key Stage 2 SATs tests. They'd been set Robbie Louis Stevenson's Treasure Island to review, and Bart's review revealed he'd only read the front cover. That was the last straw. His teacher called a meeting of Bart's parents and the educational psychologist, whose conclusion that Bart would have to repeat year six. They can do that in America. And Bart was horrified. Get a feel for it.
I guess this is the end of the road. I know I haven't always been a good kid, but if I have to go to school tomorrow, I'll fail the test and be held back. I just need one more day to study, Lord. I need your help.
Prayer, the last refuge of a scoundrel.
A teacher strike, a power failure, a blizzard, anything that'll cancel school tomorrow. I know it's asking a lot, but if anyone can do it, you can. Thanking you in advance, your pal, Bart Simpson.
Oh! Wake up!
Oh, no, no.
Wake up and look at the snow.
Huh? Whoa, good morning, world!
Right in time! It's the Bill and Marty Show. He's Bill.
He's Marty.
Two grown men who can't get enough of each other.
And it looks like we've got some snow formation for all those flake lovers out there.
Mm-hmm.
Springfield Electric, gas and water plants are closed for the day.
Oh, now don't forget the nuclear power plant, Bill. That's closed, too.
Woohoo! All right!
Now, for all you youngsters, you toddlers, this is what you've been waiting for. Springfield County Schools are... I can't read it. I'm too excited.
Uh-oh. Springfield County Schools will be closed.
Yeah! Wait, come back! You're right! You're supposed to be
friendly! Cowabunga!
You better take a break if your arms go numb.
Hey, I heard you last night, Bart. You prayed for this. Now your prayers have been answered. I'm no theologian. I don't know who or what God is exactly. All I know is he's a force more powerful than Mom and Dad put together, and you owe him big.
You're right. They asked for a miracle and I got it. I gotta study, man. I'm not missing anything. Frozen earlobes. Trudging up that stupid sled hill over and over again. How good could it be?
I haven't had this much fun in years.
Got you, Bernsie.
Oh, well, we could watch that all evening. He's a sort of, he's our alter ego, isn't he, really? But did you notice Bart's prayer? This is hopeless, he said. Well, old timer, I guess this is the end of the road. I know I haven't been a good kid, but if I have to go to school tomorrow, I'll fail the test and be held back. I just need one more day to study, Lord. I need your help. Teacher's strike, power failure, blizzard, anything that will cancel school tomorrow. I know it's asking a lot, but if anyone can do it, you can. Thanking you in advance, your pal, Bart Simpson. And he gets his blizzard. And he does some work. He just manages to pass with a D minus. Bart was so happy that he kissed his teacher as he scampered out the door. Homer was so overwhelmed, he stuck Bart's paper on the fridge and declared, "I'm proud of you, Bart," to which Bart replied, "Thanks, Dad, but part of this D minus belongs to God." Well, isn't that great? If Bart was a real boy and he prayed a prayer like that, I think Jesus would say, "Bart, there are four things you did right. Let's talk about them. The first thing you did right was you prayed straight from your heart. You were sincere. You were genuine." Bart didn't use fancy jargon. He didn't try and sound parsonical by lowering his voice an octave or two. He talked straight to God, pouring out his heart in the process. And there are two reasons why he was able to be so direct. The first was that he was on his own. No one around to impress. No one around who you don't want to know about this particular concern. Just him and God, one to one. As Jesus said in the passage we had read to us, "When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." The other reason he was able to be so honest and open was because he was desperate. You know, prayer, the last refuge of a scoundrel, says his little sister. "This is hopeless," were his first three words. Bart's got his back up against the wall. Usually he's a master of getting out of any kind of fix he lands himself in, but this was a jam he just couldn't extricate himself from. And so all of a sudden, Bart the smart aleck, Bart the profane, Bart the prayer of irreverent prayers makes way for Bart the helpless. We don't usually have to be told how to pray when we're really in a fix. When we're in a situation that is beyond our own resources to resolve. But all too often we fail to realize that many familiar situations are in fact beyond us. like forgiving those who've wronged us, like getting anxious, like trying to resist temptation, like being generous, like expressing sacrificial love for others. I think Jesus would say to Bart, I'm glad you prayed from your heart. Secondly, I think Jesus would have encouraged Bart in the way he addressed God. Remember how Bart called him old timer? I think Jesus might say, I know that's a term of trust and endearment coming from you. And that's a big step forward in seeing God as approachable in a crisis. But let me clue you in on something. There's another way of addressing God that will revolutionize the way that you envisage him. Now, occasionally in the Old Testament, the Jews would refer to God as Father, but not in any kind of intimate or personal sense, more simply as the Father of creation, the source of all that is. When Jesus came, he was always addressing God as Father, and he means his followers to do so as well. As Michael Green, who was once my vicar when I was a student and is still doing student missions at the age of 83, observes, it's not just Judaism that sees God at a distance. It's true of other religions too. You can search Islam and you will find that the name Father is absent from among all the 99 names used of God in the Quran. You will search Hinduism or Confucianism in vain to find any reference to God being a personal Father. It's unique to Christianity. It's an amazing privilege, and it's one not to be taken lightly. But what if your experience of a father has not been so brilliant? What then? Well, the answer can be found in John 14, verse 9, where Jesus said, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." Jesus defines what the ideal father is like, because he is the one who reflects him. In other words, delve into the life of Jesus, study one of the accounts of his mission, and you read about his love, his patience, his power, and his desire to bring out the best in you. And do that, and you will get a more accurate and concrete picture of what your heavenly Father is like. Well, after Jesus had talked to Bart about the way he prayed and the way he addressed God, I think he turned his attention to the third thing that Bart did right, which was the way he referred to himself in prayer, where Bart said, "I know I haven't been a good kid." That was a monumental step for him to take. After all, whenever Bart is caught doing something wrong, his immediate response has always been, if you're familiar with his cartoon series, he'll come out with, "I didn't do it," or "Nobody saw me do it," or "You can't pin that one on me." Bart is like he's wearing some kind of bulletproof vest when it comes to reflecting blame. But in his prayer here, he actually admitted that he had messed up. And I think Jesus would say, "Bart, that's a good beginning." Sometimes God can seem rather remote, but maybe it's because our sins are causing a blockage. He can't get through because of them. Come clean with him, and he can, because he'll forgive them. It says in Proverbs 28, verse 13, "He who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy." It's in situations like that when we stop messing about with God and we get real with him. And if we know how desperate the situation is, we put our sins readily before us and we confess them to God, and he removes them. They are forgiven. They are taken away. And it is said that he forgets them. Bart also expresses at least a modicum of faith when he said, "I know it's asking a lot, but if anyone can do it, you can." As the writer to the Hebrews says in 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God. So he comes with faith, he comes with trust, he knows God can do it. And he also gave God the credit for helping him. Remember, he said, part of his D minus belonged to God. But I think the last major observation of Jesus might be to look at the way Bart concluded his prayer, because it says a lot about the way he sees God. Bart signed off his kind of oral letter to the Lord with, "Your pal, Bart Simpson." And I think Jesus might have replied, "Bart, I'm so glad you're starting to think of me as your pal. Not only do I want you to receive me as the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life, but I also want to be your friend." Jesus told his followers, John 15:15, "I have called you friends." And that's what Jesus would want with any real life Bart Simpson. He would want their day-to-day friendship. He would want to walk through this life with them. A relationship that begins now and would deepen over the years and would be fully face-to-face for all eternity. A relationship that could transform even a brat like Bart Simpson into a fully devoted follower of Christ. The key that opens this kind of relationship is in the hands of each of us. "I stand at the door and knock," Jesus said, Revelation 3:20. "And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will go in and eat with him and he with me." That is a terrific picture of friendship. The God of the universe spending time having a meal with someone like you or me. A mind-boggling thought that we can talk with God like we can talk with our closest friend over a quiet, intimate meal together. Does that describe your relationship with God? If not, it's not his doing. You see, the door handle is on your side, not his. You have to open the door to invite him in. Now, old Bart at prayer wasn't the perfect example of prayer. If you want that, you need to read the Lord's Prayer that we had read to us this evening and reflect over it. You're familiar with it, but think over it, where Jesus personally taught his followers how to talk with God. But Bart didn't do so badly for somebody who was continuously messing up, and maybe we can learn a few lessons from him about how to ratchet up our own interaction with God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you might imprint just one or two of these insights into how to pray properly that we learned from old Bart and we learned from the Bible. And we pray that that would deepen our relationship with you. And if we have never begun that relationship, may we reflect on those words from Revelation 3:20 and realize that you're knocking, that you're real, that you're the other side. And it just takes us the humility and the confession of our need to open that door and to welcome you in. Amen.